It's the Kim Munson Show, analyzing the most important story.
Out here in Colorado, we had a sex education bill that was passed. It was signed by the governor and put into law. I just can't believe what is happening to public education.
The latest in politics and world affairs.
We are now using policy that if you don't affirm something, that they use policy then to take away your businesses.
Today's current opinions and ideas.
Kids are just being bombarded with darkness.
Is it freedom or is it force? Let's have a conversation.
You know, we need to get back to letting our kids be kids.
Uh-oh. Guess what day it is? Guess what day it is? Leslie, guess what today is?
It's hump day.
Woo-woo! Woo-woo, indeed. It is hump day, and welcome to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. I thank you for listening. Each of you are treasured, valued. You have purpose today. Strive for excellence. Take care of your heart, your soul, your mind, and your body. You were made for this time. Thank you to this team that I get to work with. That's producer Steve, Zach, Patty, Keith, Charlie, and all the people here at Crawford Broadcasting. We strive for excellence. We search for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, we should not have to force people to do it. And it's never compassionate to take other people's rights, their property, their freedom, or their livelihood via force, whether with a weapon, policy, unpredictable and excessive taxation, fear, coercion, and the latest, and that is the silent thief of government-induced inflation, Steve.
I'm sorry. I'm not looking for things to add to this list because I think we've already deduced that it's grown just in the last year. But I'm just thinking the numbing effect of a president who speaks in half-truths, and you just can't believe that we've sunk to this level. So anyway, I'm not trying to detract from what you're saying. I'm just... It just came to mind.
You're just saying that the list continues to grow.
I'm thinking out loud, and I shouldn't do that.
No, you do a fine job thinking out loud. I would encourage each and every one of you to go to our website and check out each of our shows. If you just click on the picture, it will bring up the recap of the show, and embedded in that is the podcast. And we had gotten behind on those, and we're pretty well caught up, I think, now, Steve, aren't we? Zach's been working like a maniac.
Well, you know, he and I don't work in the same facility, so I always send an email literally while you're recording, say, hey, a podcast coming, and so he knows to look for it and gets it into the system, and he's been busy.
Yeah, it has been busy. The body of work that this little team puts out is pretty amazing, and I do apologize when we let some of these things fall through the cracks, and it's not because we're not working, it's just because there's a lot going on out there, but we are committed to excellence in what we're doing here, and be sure and check that out, as well as sign up for our weekly newsletter. That will give you the upcoming guests for the week, as well as the most recent op-eds, the most recent podcasts, and that op-ed by Jay Davidson. I know you're going to read it. Did you get around to that yet, Steve?
I did, but not being formally trained in finance, he's kind of a couple rungs up the ladder in my understanding, but I have, you know,
Did you learn something from it?
Oh, yeah, always.
Okay.
When Jay speaks, you will learn.
Yes, that's for sure. And he is a great partner of the Kim Munson Show. He is the founder and CEO of First American State Bank, which is a community bank right here in the metro area. And then also the podcast that we did with Holly with Altitude regarding the U.S. Election Integrity Plan. This is one of the most important battles that we have going on in our country right now, Steve, is this battle for free, fair, honest, and elections. We want every legal vote to count, but that's it. We don't want illegal votes to count. And that is why this is so important. Lincoln said it. I mean, cheating in elections, it's just human nature. Because if you don't have the best idea, then of course you need to cheat to try to win. And we want to engage in this battle of ideas and have free, fair, honest elections where people can make their decisions on that in this battle of ideas. And if you have bad ideas, you have to cheat.
Or if you're the party who just, they're so drunk on power, this is all they can see is, looking in the future and how can we keep power? This is one of their tools.
This is one of their tools. So that is a really, really important podcast there. So be sure and check that out. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who contribute and support us. And I've not really said the individual thank yous for several months the way I really want to. I keep thinking I'm going to sit down and write handwritten thank yous, and that just hasn't happened yet. So I may get my phone out and I may be calling you to say thank you, because I so appreciate it. People are stepping up to the plate to support us. We have our great sponsors and then those that are support us. And I think a lot of people don't realize, Steve, that I'm truly an entrepreneur as much as I purchase my airtime. Love working with Crawford, but I purchase my airtime so that I am not constricted by what we can say. And so we seek for this truth and clarity in our show. And it's a blessing and it's also a curse, but I so appreciate everyone that supports us.
I know your schedule to a degree, and I can't imagine you sitting down for much of anything.
Well, I am going to. It's always important to say thank you. So this is a big, broad thank you. And I will be working on that this weekend. We're going to be recording our America's Veterans Stories show a little bit later this morning. This will be with Larry Cheatham. He is a Vietnam veteran, and he was on landing craft, the LSTs. And that's going to be really fascinating. That airs this Sunday at 3 p.m. and 10 p.m. So be sure and check that out. And you know what? It's Wednesday, Steve. So what's that? It's Wings Day at Hooters Restaurants. Every Wednesday, all day, available for dine-in or to-go. Not on delivery. You buy 20 wings, you get 10 for free. And that's with all their wings. They're breaded, they're naked, they're smoked, or they're boneless wings. I really like the smoked wings with the lemon pepper rub. The smoked wings are half the calories. They are quite, quite tasty. And you can actually decide if you want all drums, or if you want the wing component of it, or if you want both. So there's all kinds of choices, all kinds of freedom there. And when you're ordering your wings at Hooters Restaurant, Steve.
It's kind of a painful memory for me, though. I went to your Wednesday night event, and because of the way your dining room is laid out, I inadvertently cut in line. Next thing I knew, I was in a snowbank in the backyard, and I never got the wings.
There are certain rules when the girls come over, and don't break them, Steve.
Yeah, okay, I know.
We've got a great show planned for you today. We're going to talk with Karen Levine, another great partner of both shows. She is an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And last week we had this conversation about this excise tax that's being presented on the ballot this November in Castle Rock, about an additional $7 per square foot for new bills. And so we had a conversation about that. And then I heard back from a couple of listeners and said, take a look at this a little differently. And so I said to Karen, we need to have a conversation about that. So that will be in the second segment. And then we are starting on a weekly basis to have someone on who grew up under socialism. I think it is important. And people that grew up under socialism they're crying out saying, America, you've got to wake up with what is happening here. And so we're going to talk with Mylene Celebrea, and she grew up in Cuba. And we will talk with her in the third and fourth segment. It promises to be a fascinating conversation, Steve.
Sorry, I got to get to the phone.
Oh, there, and I think maybe we're going to be talking to Karen here in just a moment. I wanted to go to our quote for today. Sometimes you can actually learn when you have quotes from the bad guys. And so here we go. This is a quote from Castro, Fidel Castro. And he was a Cuban revolutionary, a lawyer, and a politician who was the leader of Cuba from 1959 to 2008. Now, first thing, I would just comment on people that are talking about term limits here in America. 1959 to 2008, that's a long time. He was the prime minister from 1959 to 1976, and then president from 1976 to 2008. Ideologically, he was a Marxist-Leninist and a Cuban nationalist. He also served as the first secretary of the Communist Party of Cuba from 1961 to 2011. He was born in 1926. He died in 2016. This is what he said. The first thing dictators do is finish free press to establish censorship. There is no doubt that a free press is the first enemy of dictatorship. And with what we see going on with the mainstream media, That is, there's a lot of censorship going on with big tech and big media. I thought that was a very important quote, Steve.
Let it be said, and people who've been listening to you for a while know this, that, yeah, we'll do the quotes from Washington, Lincoln, and you know, other great people, Martin Luther King, but we will also quote a rascal like Fidel Castro in terms of what not to do.
Well, and you can learn. You can really learn from that. And we were talking about the U.S. Election Integrity Plan and that podcast that we have done with Holly with Altitude. But these elections are so important. And not only are elections important, but candidates are important. And what we have seen is the left has had a concerted effort to train people and put them in office where their ideology is really Marxist. And my friend Casper Stockham has stepped up to the plate and decided to do something about that with America First Republicans. And he is helping train candidates and those that want to help candidates. And Casper's on the show, or on the line right now. Casper, welcome to the show.
Yes, good to be here with you, Kim.
What you are doing is so important, and this is here in Colorado. Tell our listeners a little bit about America First Republicans.
Absolutely. So we are a training and support site for grassroots candidates who typically don't get the help and support they need to win in their races. We've trained over 50 candidates so far, and our goal is 250 for the year, so we're a little behind schedule. But we've had several candidates announce their run for office already. We've had one announced for U.S. Senate, and that was Eric Odlin. And then another one just announced a couple of days ago, Jules Gray. She's running for CD8, you know, the new congressional district.
Okay.
So, and we have some candidates running for local offices as well, school board and county commissioner. So, you know, we are in the fight. We're training up some America First grassroots candidates who believe in the Constitution. What a concept. And also believe in the Republican platform. Yeah, exactly.
Casper, the word conservative has been demonized for many, many, many years. And I think that we need to reclaim that word. And that word, actually, conservative, preserve, conserve, is conserving this idea, this American idea, which this American idea with this administration is on the ropes right now. But this idea that all men are created equal with these rights from God of life, liberty, and pursuit of happiness. This is a unique concept within the history of mankind. And even though that idea is on the ropes right now with what's going on, I see everyday people stepping forward. And I was thinking about it this morning, Casper. We do not elect leaders. We are to elect representatives of the people.
Right.
And
right.
These are not elected officials. These are elected representatives. And we need to elect representatives that are going to claw back all of this power that people on both sides of the aisle, reaching across the aisle, have collaborated and given away our freedoms and have moved us over to a bureaucracy, this fourth branch of government, the administrative state. We need to have men and women that will step forward and conserve and preserve this American idea. And I know that is what you are doing there. And the grassroots never gets any money because freedom doesn't really choose winners and losers. It's the power.
Right.
That's why you see so much money in these elections. And I want to just mention one other thing. I was at a meeting recently, and what we have seen is the establishment that the people that really can kind of control the donor dollars, although I see that wall starting to crack because the results have been terrible here in Colorado. With what we see that has happened here. But I heard someone say that we are going to support candidates that can win. It's like, who makes that decision? Let's support those candidates that have gone out and they understand why they're there and why they're in that running for office. I think that is really important, Casper. What's your final thought?
Yeah, well, you said a lot there because candidates in their mind that can win are Walker Stapleton, Cory Gardner, you know, the list goes on and on. Just because they have money doesn't mean they can win. They have to have some ideas that resonate with non Republican voters as well as Republican voters.
Correct.
And the other side are masters at demonizing names and stuff. You know, they did that with the Tea Party. You know, folks are afraid to say that they're actually a Tea Party person or a conservative. You know, and you're right. We have to take those back. So I'm not afraid of latching onto those names. I'm not even afraid to say America First. Even that name has been demonized.
Can you, honestly, can you believe it? So other thing, you are having a fundraiser when we're speaking about money, and that is going to be on 9/11 to honor 9/11.
Yes.
And tell our listeners just a little bit about that and how they can join you and get more information.
Absolutely. So we're actually going to have three events around 9/11. So we're going to have the first one Friday night. It's a free event. It's going to be at Deep Space down in Parker. And all this is on our website, which I'll give you here in a second, so people don't have to try to remember this. But the first one's Friday night. And then Saturday morning early, we're going to have an event out at the Kiowa Clay Shooting Sport Club out in Kiowa.
Okay.
So we're going to go clay shooting, but we're going to have a VIP breakfast in the morning, and then we're going to go clay shooting, and then we have a lunch event. And then that evening, we're going down to Colorado Springs, and we're partnering up with the El Paso GOP. We're having another free event Saturday evening. So three major events, all for the purpose of remembrance of 9/11, because this is the 20th year anniversary of 9/11. And then we're also, of course, having a fundraiser Saturday at the clay shooting. And we're going to be raffling off some guns, so it's going to be a good time. We got some VIPs coming out. I think you said you're coming out.
Yeah, I'll be there.
So it's going to be a great time. You get to meet some awesome people like him and others. And then our special guest, Albert Guillory, is flying in for the event.
Oh, great. Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Love that guy.
Yeah. So people can still come on out. We still have plenty of tickets left, but they are starting to go now.
Okay.
We got 10 days left. So people say, oh, my God, I got to get.
Right. It's September. It's September 1st. So now you'll do some temporary things. What's that website, Casper?
Yes. So they can go to America First. It's FR. IST Republicans with the S on the end .us. America First Republicans .us.
Excellent. Casper, you're doing great work. We'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thanks, Kim.
Thanks so much. And Karen Levine, she is on the line. You know her. She is my dear friend. She is also an award-winning realtor with RE/MAX Alliance. And whether or not you're buying a new home, you're selling your home, you're buying a new build, it's important to have Karen Levine on your side of the table with her great experience. She's a great negotiator, so that you come away knowing that you have really done a good job on your negotiations. Karen Levine, welcome to the show.
Morning, Kim.
Last week, you and I, Karen, you are doing so much work on the local, state, and national level. You are a member of the National Board of Realtors, a director there. And all this takes time, but I know on your heart, it's because home ownership is so important to this broad middle class that we have here in America, and it's a way to create wealth. So I thank you for all that you do in volunteering, because public policy is very important in this arena right now.
It definitely is, and thank you, Kim. Yeah, there's a lot of work to be done, and a function I was at yesterday, our conversation was that work really needs to start locally.
So speaking of locally, last week you and I talked about one of these tax questions, and it's an excise tax that will be on the Castle Rock ballot. And Castle Rock has been growing significantly. I look at all these new homes, and I just, it makes my heart, you know, get bigger, because it's like, oh, these are people that are getting, you know, their own home, their own backyard, their little taste of their success of the American dream. So I love that. Other people look at it and they say they see sprawl and too many people, and we just see that differently. But Castle Rock has been growing significantly, and there is this question on the ballot that in essence will increase or put an excise tax of $7 per square foot. And then, oh, I didn't see this, as adjusted for inflation. Did you? I I pulled the ballot language. I just saw that. And it also detapers the excess revenue from what I can tell. And you and I had talked about it last week, and I see this as making housing more expensive. We did have several listeners that emailed me that said, well, this is having them, new people, help pay for the growth. What, after you've thought about this, Karen, what's your comments on this?
Well, I'm really glad we're continuing the conversation, Kim, because it's an important conversation, not only for Castle Rock, but it's an important conversation throughout the metro area and really throughout the nation, which is we have a shortage of housing. I believe it's 5 million units that we are short to provide housing for our citizens, and that's in home ownership and providing a place for them to achieve that American dream. And so in thinking about this, we misspoke somewhat in thinking that a lot of this tax was going to be utilized to supplement some attainable, affordable housing projects. But in fact, they are stating that it is going to be for fire and police and infrastructure. And I've had a couple other conversations throughout the week, which basically falls on the fact that the current citizens of Castle Rock, they've kept, their government has kept taxes low, and they have not invested in some of their infrastructure. And now that they are growing, they're suffering growing pains, which many of our communities have gone through and are still going through. And it seems unfair to me that we put that burden on developers, builders, which ultimately is on the consumer in the ultimate price of that home. And the comment that I made to you off air is, I believe property taxes have a mill levy in them that is for firing police. So I'm trying to understand this. I want to definitely have a conversation around it so we all have a better understanding and we see the big picture and what is the best move for the citizens of Castle Rock.
Well, I appreciate that, and it is important to understand that there are mill levies for fire, and police may be paid for. It's probably different from city to city, but I know in my city that is paid for by the city. But typically your roads many times are paid for by the metro districts, as well as your parks are paid for by your park metro district. And so I think it's important to understand that there are other taxing entities out there as well. But another thing, Karen, that I've thought a lot about, first of all, is this economic development. We see that cities have economic development departments. We see that counties have economic development departments and the state. And in essence, let's just talk about the state. What they do basically is they pick winners and losers. They say, hey, company, you come to our city or our state, and we will give you a break on this tax or this tax. And I'm thinking, well, my gosh, if it's great for this business to pay lower taxes, then how about all the businesses that were already here? Maybe we should lower the taxes there. But when government comes in and arbitrarily picks these winners and losers to bring people into the community, those people are going to have to live places. So that government intervention then is something that actually is creating these growing pains. Now, I know that's a more subtle. And then the other thing is this push for affordable housing. And I call it the affordable housing industrial complex because there's big money in quote unquote affordable housing. And so when you see this move to put, to incentivize developers to put in, say, 3 or 4 story apartment buildings, where some people in the apartment building get to pay a different rate than the other person. But you take a look at the density of that and plopping that into a neighborhood, and typically people that rent don't have the same vested interest in their property as somebody that owns their property. You know, there's the old adage, have you ever seen anybody wash a rental car? that changes the fabric as well. So I think there's some subtleties here that this tax doesn't acknowledge. And then, as I just mentioned, I had not read the whole thing. I copied it off, and it's on our outline. They are detabering excess revenue. And whenever they detaber something, they have that language in there. I vote no on that just because of that, Karen.
Right. And I think the challenge of City Council in Castle Rock is that they know they need to generate revenue, and they have a sense, based on polling, that the citizens will not favor a tax increase, whether that's a property tax increase, a sales tax increase, that they can't get that passed. And so they're trying to pass on that burden to new construction, which, yes, new construction will have a burden on their community, but it will also bring more revenue to their community. And there is that question of how do you create balance and fairness for new citizens as well as for current citizens. And I know that City Council is trying to look at many options. It is certainly going to be apparent that the Homeowners Association, the Home Builder Association, is going to do a lot of lobbying against this particular issue because that's not favorable for their industry. So I think it's an interesting question. I think it's tough. I think many cities throughout the metro area have had these challenges, and the city of Lakewood chose to do a limited growth initiative, which they are finding is not solving the problems that they were hoping it would solve. And it's causing their housing to be more expensive.
Well, there's so many issues on this, and it's important that we continue this conversation. Karen, I so appreciate this, and let's continue on to talk about this because we really need to protect the opportunity for people to be able to have their own home.
Most definitely, Kim, and I will continue to work on that along with my fellow realtors, and you and I can continue to have the discussion and conversation.
Sounds great. So thanks so much. We will talk to you next week.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
And speaking of home ownership, typically you need a mortgage to buy that home. Lauren Levy, who is an expert with Polygon Financial Group on mortgages, he works with a lot of different lenders, is on the line. Lauren, welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning, Kim.
I saw a headline, and in fact, Jay Davidson in his op-ed had indicated that Jerome Powell, the head of the Federal Reserve, and indicated that Federal Reserve might consider scaling back the stimulus or whatever. Did that affect mortgage rates at all?
Not yet. They did say that there's on the Federal Reserve Board, there's been a bunch of, I don't want to say disconnect. There's just some people that want to taper sooner and some that want to keep it going longer. And so they just hinted that maybe by the end of the year they would start doing it. But it hasn't had much of an effect yet. Once they announce that they're really going to do it, then we'll see what that does. But so far, not much has happened.
Okay. And what's your thoughts on inflation, Lauren? I mean, this is that silent thief that people don't even realize. It takes away their buying power. What's your thoughts about that and the mortgage industry?
You know, the mortgage industry has been the one place where people can get relief, right? Because the rates have been being kept down, whether it be through the Federal Reserve doing their actions and buying mortgages. But with rates staying below 3%, people have been able to lower their payments and have almost deflation in their monthly bills just on their mortgage payments, nowhere else. I got gas yesterday, and that hurt. But as far as inflation and the mortgage payments, they've been able to avoid it there for sure.
So that does seem like that would be an inflation, I want to say play, if you will, but to make sure that you have a low interest rate on your mortgage right now is very important. One other thing, because interest rates are so low, you do help people with this reverse mortgage as well, because people may have a lot of equity in their house, and this has been a tool, but it's an important tool that people understand, and you can help both the person that is doing the reverse mortgage as well as their family understand what's happening, and you help people with that as well, correct?
That's right. Most people age 62 and over tend to have their largest asset be the value of their home. Some people have paid off their home or made a huge dent in what they owe, and then with the increase in home values, they have a lot of equity, and sometimes they don't have much else. And so to tap that equity in a safe way and make it work for them without having to move or sell can be huge for people and really change their lives. And we do those loans and would love to talk to people about them.
And I have your number memorized, Lauren. That's 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881. Lauren, thanks so much. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, thank you, Kim.
And before we go to break, I just want to mention Grand Lakes U.S. Constitution Week, which will be September 13th through the 19th. September 17th is Constitution Day, and this is their 10th anniversary. It's going to be a great week. They have all kinds of different speakers there, and there will be the main event on Saturday. They have a parade. It's such a taste of Americana. I'd recommend that you go ahead and call and get some reservations made, because I think that those are going to sell out. But it is a great event. It's their 10th annual. It's going to be a great event. So you can go to Grand Lake U.S. Constitution Week on their website, and be sure and check that out. We're going to go to break. We'll be right back.
Would you have ever dreamed that freedom of speech, freedom of thought, freedom of assembly, and freedom of religion would be under assault and attack in America? Unbelievably, it is happening right before our eyes. That is why it is important to keep free-thinking, independent voices on the airwaves, the internet, and social media. Kim Munson is one of those important voices. Help her keep independence alive. Go to KimMunson.com to contribute, to join Kim in the battle of ideas raging in America today. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com.
And welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I am Kim Munson. Be sure and check out our website. That's Kim Munson, MONSON.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at Kim@KimMunson.com as well. And thank you to each and every one of you who support our work here. We are searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force. Force versus freedom. If something's a good idea, you should not have to force people to do that. And let's go to a few of our headlines here. Steve, this is one that had been of great concern to you, and this is from the Denver Post. It says, Tri-County Health requires masks for all students. It rescinds counties' ability to opt out of health orders. It says, all students, staff, and visitors in a large swath of the metro area will be required to wear masks in school starting September 1, following a decision Monday evening by Tri-County Health Department officials to expand the agency's mask mandate to kids 2 and older, if you can believe it. During the same meeting, the Tri-County Board of Health also rescinded a policy passed last November that allowed Douglas, Adams, and Arapahoe counties to opt out of the public health orders, an approach that one board member said was causing concern and confusion among local officials. I don't think it's causing confusion. It is. We need to make sure that we have our elected representatives that are making these decisions and not unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats. And unelected, unaccountable bureaucrats, the administrative state is moving us towards socialism and Marxism. And I think it's important that we understand what this really is. Socialism is not about being social. Socialism is not about free stuff. Socialism is ultimately about government control. And we're going to be doing a series. I was at an event a couple of weeks ago up in Loveland, Perspectives 101, where they had a panel of 5 women who all had grown up under socialism. And I thought, we need to bring this forward so that we understand what that is. I'm so thrilled to have on the line with me Maylene Salaberria. And she grew up in Cuba. Maylene, welcome to the show.
Hi, Kim. Thank you for having me. It's a pleasure to have a few minutes to talk to you all.
Well, you grew up in Cuba. And so you have seen socialism. What did that look like, Maylene?
Yes, indeed. I was born and raised in Castro's Cuba, left the socialist plantation in 2001 as a young adult. So as I usually tell people when I share my testimonies of how life in socialism is, there is really nothing about collectivism, centralized planning, an absolute lack of individual freedoms and powers to decide your life that anybody can come and tell me right now at this point in my life that I already haven't lived or suffered already while I was in Cuba. It's funny because I was just briefly listening to you wrapping up your idea about how the administrative state it's actually leading us in the United States basically to the same goal. I mean, a lot of people think that totalitarian dictatorships and failed socialism experiments and bloody communism social experiments only come to countries and societies via revolution or a bloody battle. And it's kind of like ironic to see that in the United States in the past few decades, it have been happening via bureaucratic state and overregulation that little by little have been killing individual freedoms while we have been just, I don't know, looking to the other side, maybe. and it's really concerning. It is really concerning, especially for people like me, that we know the ugly face of socialism and living in a collectivist society. I mean, it's so hard to try to explain in detail to someone that actually, you know, may have not a way to actually visualize in their life how is it to. But there are many, many examples that we can correlate with experiences and problems that we have in today's United States right now. For example, the way that public, quote unquote, public education and school systems are being control in a centralized fashion by governments at the federal level. The way that individual freedoms, the way that body autonomy, freedom to choose, it's being crushed on a daily basis in this country in the past few years. The way that, I don't know, like in the medical field, with all these people calling for a government-controlled healthcare system when we're seeing right now in Cuba there is a sanitary collapse that is happening precisely because for 62 years a failed, an utterly failed economic system has left the entire healthcare network in crumbles. And now with the pandemic, it's showing its truly ugly face with people dying, you know, by the thousands on a daily basis. It's really concerning, Kim, because when we are in places like Cuba, for example, you always have like this, literally like this light at the end of the tunnel saying, well, I might be able to keep pulling through because I still have the hope that it's one day. If things don't get better in Cuba and the communist dictatorship doesn't go away, at least I have the hope that maybe one day I can make it to the United States. Now, my question to you and the question that I always pose to your audience and to any audience that I'm talking about this, if we lose the American experiment, we got no place to go. It would be the end of the tunnel. So if we keep taking for granted the freedom that we have in this country and we lose what we have here today with all their problems and all that, where do we go from here?
Mylene, America, the American idea is in deep peril right now. I see something positive with the whole COVID-19 Wuhan, China virus, CCP virus in that. And then, of course, with Donald Trump being president for 4 years, the veil has come off on this has been percolating, as you mentioned. We really started to see it ramp up in the 80s. I think the Marxist of the 60s. Started to infiltrate mm-hmm. yeah. our education system. And so we started to see these policies in the 80s. So now we're 40 years into it. And I kind of feel if we hadn't had the COVID-19 reaction disruption, that we would just have continued to kind of have this slow boil. We are now seeing
Absolutely.
With Biden in the office, and I'm now calling it the Harris, Biden, Rice, Obama, Jarrett administration, because it looks to me like this is Obama, his third term for sure. But the veil is off, And I see everyday people starting to understand this. I'm hoping that, and I think that's why they're putting all of these policies on warp speed and printing all of this money, because they realize that I think that we are awakening this sleeping giant of America today, and they're trying to do everything they can to destroy our country before we get organized and get our brains around this and get this figured out, Mylene.
Absolutely, yeah. And I think, Kim, that when you go back in history again, you know, I have been in this country for only 20 years. There is so much that I still have to learn to literally keep up with my peers. In that sense, I always say that I started my life 20 years ago when I came to the United States. So I'm still trying to make up with people, you know, from my generation. But when you go back in history, you actually see that all these government centralized, you know, I mean, this is literally like collectivization by the book of the communists. Whoever hasn't read this in the communist manifestos, again, it's just not paying attention, actually started way back when the New Deal and the progressive movement is starting to permeate the process and the politics in this country. And exactly like you said, it has always been like this visual of the frogs in the boiling water, where for decades, somebody and the powers that be have been cranking up the temperature of the water, and we happy little frogs are just sitting in here like if we were in a hot tub, you know, with a drink with a colorful umbrella on it, not paying attention, taking for granted what we have. And like you said, I think the last year and a half was a pivotal point. And whoever didn't open their eyes as to what is really the goal here with everything that happened with COVID is just because they're choosing to be blind, honestly. Like you said, this awakening process was out in the clear during this past year. And if we don't realize that many of the policies that unelected bureaucrats are literally shoving down our throats in every single level and aspect of our daily life, their goal is actually not safety or not health or anything like that. Their goal is to entrench with power and control even more, and to continue to kill individual freedoms in again, like a soft, light, kind of like reduced fat road to the same end goal, which is centralized control of your lives in some sort, shape or form of socialism, which is really, again, concerning. Like you were saying, a lot of people have been waking up, and in my experience, I think that what is happening at the local level with the school systems, with school mandates, with school boards, the way that parents have been speaking out in the past few months has given me hope. Has given me hope, for example, in the same way that the uprisings that happened on July 11 in Cuba kind of like took everybody by surprise. I am seeing kind of like the same process happening here. They have poked a bear when they thought that they could mess up with our children and that we were going to, you know, bow down and go down quiet. And I'm telling you, in my experience, I can only talk for myself, but I know I have countless of parents around me in Colorado and all over this country that feel exactly the same. I am the poster child of what it is to be a child of the state. I was born, I grew up, I went to school in a society with the government mandates rule your lifestyles, where parental consent is non-existent. I was born in communist Cuba. I mean, I have been in this country for 20 years, and I can tell you for sure, I didn't start my life here, Kim, with two suitcases and $200 in my pocket for my American-born children to end up living under the same disastrous socialist policies that I have to escape from. And I think that this sentiment is something that is radiating in families, in parents, in Colorado, in a way that I have never seen before.
Well, I have great hope in that. Mylene, we're going to go to break. Stay through the break because I want to continue to talk about our children. And you are going to be speaking tonight at Perspectives 101, and that is up in the Loveland area. And if people are interested in getting information about that, they can email perspectives101.info@gmail.com. That's perspectives101.info@gmail.com. We're going to go to break. Before we do that, though, two of my great sponsors. First of all, Castlegate Knife and Tool. They are located right here in Sedalia, Colorado. Hal Van Herke and his wife, Linnea, are true entrepreneurs. This is just a great little small business. And they have a great website, castlegate.com. I'd highly recommend to go down, though I love Sedalia, to check that out. But whether or not you need a wedding gift, a birthday gift, if you're a chef, a collector, or a sportsman, Castlegate Knife and Tool has this wider range of knives and tools for you. Be sure and check out castlegate.com. That's castlegate.com. And then also September 13th through the 19th is U.S. Constitution Week up in Grand Lake, Colorado. I was talking to one of the organizers, Tom Goodfellow, yesterday, and I said, did you ever dream how important this work is that you are doing with U.S. Constitution Week? It's September 13th through the 19th. On the 19th, on Sunday morning, they're going to have a church service in the park, which I'm excited about that. I am so honored to get to MC the main event, which is on Saturday. There will be a parade, so be sure and join us and check out GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. That's GrandLakeUSConstitutionWeek.com. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we'll continue our conversation with Mylene Salaberria.
With the federal government printing money, it looks like inflation is on the horizon. That is why you should lock in a low rate now on your mortgage. Lauren Levy with Polygon Financial Group is here to help. Lauren works with a variety of lenders to assist you in finding the mortgage that is just right for you. Locking in a low rate now will save you thousands of dollars over the life of your loan. Don't procrastinate. Don't wait any longer. Call Lauren today at 303-880-8881. That's 303-880-8881.
Americans Veteran Stories with Kim Munson, Sunday afternoons at 3, here on KLZ 560 AM and KLZ 100.7.
Welcome back to the Kim Munson Show. I'm Kim Munson. Check out our website. That's Kim Munson, M-O-N-S-O-N.com. Sign up for our weekly newsletter there. You can email me at kim@kimmunson.com as well. And thank you to all of you who support us. I so appreciate that. We are searching for truth and clarity by looking at these issues through the lens of freedom versus force, force versus freedom. Something's a good idea. You shouldn't have to force people to do that. Socialism is not about free stuff. It's about force. And that is why we're having this conversation with Mylene Salaberria. And then she will be speaking this evening up in Loveland at Perspectives 101. If you want more information about that, you can email them at perspectives101.info@gmail.com. Mylene, I had the great honor to be at the event a couple of weeks ago where you and four other women who grew up under socialism, communism, talked, and you talked about our children. And that is one of the first things. We saw it in Hitler's Germany. We have seen it in all these communist, Marxist countries, socialist countries, is our children. And you guys said something just so interesting, and that is kind of the extension of the school day, after-school activities. I thought that was very telling, Mylene.
Yes, it is. It's part, again, of the pillars of any socialist, communist, centralized society. When you look, again, at the text, at the books, at what they use as their roadmap, to build up the totalitarian societies they do, one of the number one goals is always the newer generations and the children. And that's how you put together the testimonies that you were mentioning, you heard before, on how we grew up in those countries, with the extended hours in school, separated from our parents, when at the same time, it was being promoted, these divide and conquer ideas to separate and divide families, exactly as it is happening in the United States today, whether it's along politics, whether it's along religion. In my case, in Cuba, it's, you know, the ones that left are traitors and worms, and the ones that stay are the really good revolutionaries. So you have that. You have the censorship. You have the prohibition of religion and the persecution of people of faith. And then when you combine all that with getting younger generations under an educational system that is centrally planned and controlled by the government, where you are literally on a 24/7 process of a little drop system of brainwashing, where they educate the children even in a way to to go, you know, behind their own parents to snitch on them and things like that is where you get the results of societies like Cuba or China that for so many years have stayed in power while murdering people, while leaving a bloody trail behind the years that they have been in power. Why? Because you have new generation of young people that are being constantly educated, quote unquote, in this brainwashing system where the only thing that is valid and the only thing that is correct is what the party says, what the teacher says, what the system says. And then if someone in the family or any parent there to try to teach their children otherwise, then they are the bad ones. And again, any similarity with whatever might be happening, we are younger generations in the schools in the United States today. Probably have, you know, the rooted history in those testimonies and in that system that totalitarian societies usually, you know, put in place. We're seeing it here with the issues of these social emotional learning classes in schools, with the way that they are trying to permeate backstage educational curriculums with stupid things as critical race theory, which is just another new PR campaign for the good old divide and conquer based on perpetuating racism and discrimination and segregation in our most young students. Again, the techniques, Kim, might be more sophisticated, might be in English with Wi-Fi and social media, but at the end, the result is exactly the same. It's divide and conquer, so those in the high elites can entrench in power even more by destroying, using the force of the state, the individual rights and the individual freedoms that we have guaranteed by our constitution in this country.
Okay, that is so interesting that you would mention that, because, and we're going to be really ramping up after Labor Day. There's this Colorado initiative, LEAP. It's called Learning Enrichment and Academic Program Plan. And it is ostensibly and we were talking with Karen Levine about people don't mind taxes if somebody else pays for it. So in this case, this is it's a new state retail marijuana tax for the children, if you will. But what is so interesting about this is, first of all, it puts in place a 9-member appointed board, a bureaucratic board that will be in charge of the whole program and in charge of all of this money. And they are unaccountable to the people. They are unaccountable to the Department of Education. They're unaccountable to the state legislature. And it's kind of like, what could go wrong with that, Mylene?
Yeah, right. I mean, it's, again, going back to the initial idea, is that we have people that nobody elected, that nobody knows who they are. Like you say, they are going to be pretty much having like a free range over not only the budgetary and money decisions, but also on what goes in those curriculums without voters' accountability and without parents' input on it. I mean, no wonder families in places like Colorado are like leaving the public school system by the masses and going into alternative and homeschooling programs. I mean, right there, you have the most recent example right here in our state. Why do unelected bureaucrats that are going to be unaccountable on how they spend that money and where that money is being spent, why do they keep popping out in these commissions and in these groups and in all over, it's not only in education, all over in any aspect of our life? Because again, the goal is to keep like this light backstage process of centralizing every single aspect of our life without having it, you know, in a headline that actually says socialism. But again, at the end, it's the same result.
It is. And Mylene, we're getting close to this is so fascinating, but you triggered me. You triggered me on this because Patty had mentioned this, that so this LEAP is being touted that our kids have fallen behind. and that they will need help in reading, writing, and arithmetic. I submit to you that if, in fact, we were focusing the school day and our teachers' resources to teaching reading, writing, arithmetic, critical thinking, science, and history, instead of critical race theory, and sexualizing our children through the LGBTQ Planned Parenthood curriculum, we wouldn't have to be touting that we need to do reading, writing, and arithmetic. But you just mentioned this, and you said this about Cuba. This is other things that this is right here in the initiative. And it, after science and writing, it says, targeted support for children and youth with special needs and learning disabilities. Then this one, access to mental, physical, and emotional health counseling and services. That sounded like something that you said was happening in Cuba.
Yes, and actually, it happened in Cuba when I was going to school there, and it's most likely the route that it's going to take here. Who are the people that are going to be deciding what counseling services are? And all that usually happens without the parent being present or without the parental consent. And then again, I pose this question, and I keep trying to get parents and people to think about it. Where and when are you going to draw the line in the sand? I mean, up to what point are you willing to go, literally giving your children to the state? By the time that you open your eyes, it's going to be too late. It's going to be too late unless you have an opportunity like the one I had to escape the communist plantation where I was born. So if we don't move and get involved now, we are going to lose a window of opportunity that is really going to be golden. And guess what? Whatever good battle result we might have at the end of the day, if we don't put up the battle now, sadly, it's going to be our children's generations, the one that is going to be, that are going to be paying the highest price. Why? Because we're being sold all these initiatives, obviously pay with our own taxpayers' monies, and all these sacrifices and all these programs that, again, are going to be led and decided by unelected bureaucrats that we don't even know who they are, with these ideas of one size fits all. And then we're being asked to do all this, to sacrifice paying more taxes, to do this and to do that for the greater good, and, you know, for a sacrifice for our society. Well, let me tell you something. The biggest atrocities in the history of mankind have always been committed in the name of the greater good.
There you have it. Hey, Mylene, we are out of time, but thank you so much. And you can hear Mylene tonight. You can email perspectives101.info@gmail.com, and they will give you the location. Mylene, thank you so much.
Thanks to you. Bye-bye.
Okay. And I pulled a Fidel Castro quote, which I think is appropriate from our side as well, or the freedom side. It says, men do not shape destiny. Destiny produces the men and women for the hour. So my friends today, be grateful. Read great books, think good thoughts, listen to beautiful music, communicate and listen well, live honestly and authentically, strive for high ideals, and like Superman, stand for truth, justice, and the American way. My friends, you are not alone. God bless you, and God bless America.
Views and opinions expressed on KLZ 560 are those of the speaker, commentators, hosts, their guests, and callers. They are not necessarily the views and opinions of Crawford Broadcasting or KLZ Management, employees, associates, or advertisers. KLZ 560 is a Crawford Broadcasting God and Country station.
KLZ AM HD Denver, AM 560 and 100.7 FM.